If you open your Bibles, John chapter 14. For those of you who are guests, we have had a lot going on today. It is time for us to dismiss. But if you think we're going to do that, you're just wrong. I mean, but I will tell you this, if you are one of our guests and you had other things that you needed to do and you had planned to do at the end of our service, and you need to leave because some kind of time thing, feel free just to find your way toward the back and go out. I hope you can stay. John chapter 14, we're beginning in verse 15 in just a moment. I'm so happy that we support the work that we do. And a work like Agape is something that is dear to our hearts. You know, you read stories all the time. Just 8 days ago, I read a story of a mom, a single mom, who just left her children, just abandoned her children. And I think, how in the world can that be? I mean, what kind of a person would do something like that? And we read those kind of situations. We know those kind of situations. And so a place like Agape, those children oftentimes are brought in there and a home is found for them. But then I also recognize that at Agape, there are some things that I do understand. I understand when a mom or dad, mom and dad have a child, and they recognize that they cannot care for this child. They cannot provide for this child. They cannot help this child be all that that child should be. And they love that child so much that they decide to give it to another family for adoption. I understand that. I think a parent can love a child that much to say it is better for this child that I give it to a family who can raise this child and love this child and care for this child and provide for this child. And so when Jesus is with his disciples and he has been telling them from the beginning in chapter 14 about the fact that he's going to be going away, he tells them in verse 18 something that is really the kind of key of what we want to look at today. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. Or other translations say, I will not leave you desolate. Basic idea is, I won't abandon you. I'm not going to go away and leave you here just to do it on your own. I'm not going to go away and just hope that you find some way to take care of yourself. I have a different plan in mind. I'm going to go away, but I promise you that when I go away, you're going to be in a better situation. I don't think they got it. I know they didn't get it for a while. Let's look at John chapter 15. If you love me, he says, you will obey what I command you. Or 14, rather, verse 15. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you, will be in you. I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. Jesus promises that he will give them another advocate. The word that is used throughout this section is the word that is basically meaning someone to come alongside you. And it is the Greek word, it's been made into an English word, transliterated to paraclete. That word has been translated in many different ways depending on the time that translation was used. It was called comforter in the King James Bible because the Latin word from which we got the English word meant someone who was a person who came alongside you and helped you in your legal matters. The word counselor has been used often. It's used in the NIV. Another good translation. I've chosen to use for our discussion the word advocate because advocate carries with it the idea of someone who is in a legal profession who comes to help you when you need defense, but also comes to help you when you are the one trying to prosecute. And you're going to see both of these in this text as we go through it for just a few minutes, of what the advocate, the counselor, comforter, however you want to, God's going to give you comfort whether that's what the meaning of the word is in this text or not. But the basic idea is this advocate who will come beside you, the Spirit who will never leave you. You will never be in a situation where you are by yourself. You'll never be in a situation where you are facing someone who is questioning who you are and questioning the life that you live, questioning your whole idea of faith in Jesus Christ. You will never be alone in that. The Spirit will be within you. The Spirit will be there to help you to be able to deal with that question, with those situations, be able to answer and to give a good response to their questions to you. And He will lead you into all truth. Now, I recognize that a primary emphasis here has to do with those writing scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, it talks about the truth being revealed to us by the Spirit. And we have the Word of God given to us that we need. It's already been said today, we need to be in it. The Spirit has given us these words so that we can go about His work, go about the work of God, knowing that the Spirit within us, taking those words, using those words, so that we can be the kind of people that God wants us to be and to do the kind of things that God wants us to do. The world, He says, can't receive the Spirit. They don't believe. So the world, no one who's not a child of God has the Spirit dwelling within them. It just cannot believe. You know, it takes sometimes, even for us who are Christians, this idea of faith, to be able to step out in faith and do something, believing that God is really going to respond and that the Spirit within us is really going to help. He's really going to do something. He's not just there just for us to say, hey, I have the Spirit. He's really there to work. I think of a father and a child, and the child is up on some kind of little precipice, and the father's down below, and the father's saying, jump, son, jump. And the little boy is looking down and saying, jump, son, jump, I'll catch you, I promise I'll catch you. And finally, the boy jumps, and the father catches him. And as soon as the father catches him, the boy starts saying, do it again, do it again. So he wants to climb back up and do it again. That's kind of the way that we can learn our faith. When our faith just takes the chance, when our faith is strong enough to say, okay, I'm going to believe God. It's not something I would normally do, but I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe He's with me. I'm going to believe He's going to be faithful. I'm going to take the jump. And when we do that and we see how God acts, we're going to be saying, do it again. Do it again. Put me in another situation. Do it again. I see how you work in my life. I see how you work through my life. I believe in your power. He will be with us, but He will be in us. It's not just the idea that, you know, wherever I go, He's alongside. He is. That's the meaning of the word. But He's also in us. And with that in mind, we've got passages like 1 Corinthians 6 where He talks so much about the Spirit that lives within us. And because He does, we maintain this temple of the Spirit. We don't use it for ungodly and unholy things. We're not involved in sexual immorality. We're not involved in those kind of things that would destroy the temple of God or in any way make it a place where that is not worthy of God's Spirit to indwell us. So He's with us, but He's in us. And if I hit the right button, He will never abandon us. As we saw in verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not just abandon you. I'm not going away and hoping that you find something that happens a little bit later on. I am going to be with you. And so at the end of this time that Jesus is going to be on earth, after His resurrection, He calls the disciples together in chapter 20, verse 22, if you want to look over at it. Jesus breathed on them the Spirit. This is the first time the Spirit has been along with them, he says, but he hasn't been in you yet. And Jesus on this occasion will breathe into them the Spirit of God. And now wherever they go, he is not just there, he is inside them. Peace I leave with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He's getting ready to send them out. He's not going to be there with them anymore. I'm sending you out, but I'm not sending you out alone. I'm not abandoning you. I'm sending you with the Spirit. Now look at chapter 15. Verses 25 and 26. No, I'm sorry, I skipped too far down, didn't I? In chapter 14 still. Well, I've just lost my way. Where am I? Okay. Down in verse 25. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So he's going to go away, but he says, I'm leaving with you the Counselor, the Advocate, and as you're about my business, as you're about sending the message around the world, I want you to know that the Counselor, the Advocate, can give you peace. It's not like the world gives it, but it's the peace that I will leave with you and give to you, so that in the midst of all the trials, in the midst of the persecutions, in the midst of the difficulties that you will face, I want you to know that the Spirit that is within you can give you peace. That you can face these things with a sense that God is with me, I know he's in me, I don't have to fear what is my outcome. My heart is calmed, and the fear can be set aside. I have the Spirit of God in me. I am not going to lose regardless of what they do to me. We turn out to be winners. And the Spirit of God is going to give us that sense of greatness, that sense of victory. He says, I'm going to remind you of all that I've done or said. I am going to let you know. I'm going to remind you so you can write down. Others wrote down who may not have been in this visit, in this occasion. You're going to write down. I'm going to remind you of everything that I've done or said. And I'm just one of those who believes that there are times in our life when we're being tested, that the Spirit is able to remind us of the right thing at the right time that God, that Jesus did, that he said. Or when we're going through some kind of a trial, that the Holy Spirit within us can calm us, can remove the fear, can let us know that Jesus is with us, that God is with us. And whatever they seek to do, whatever the outcome is, you win. You are the victor. They have no power over you. God has the power. The Spirit is in you. So you can find that you can live without the fear, and you can have a calm heart. And so you walk into those situations again with great faith, and you say, God, again, let's do it again. I really believe in the power that you have in me. You know, these disciples were just a total different breed of people after Jesus breathed the Spirit into them. Well, you just think about their life and how they were. I mean, while he's on trial, they're hiding. They're scared that they're going to be next. The the Spirit comes upon them after he is risen, and they are totally different. They have no fear. They go before the Sanhedrin. They go before the leaders. They go before anyone. They speak the truth about Jesus. The Spirit gives them the means of defense, as the advocate would do, and they live totally a different life. Now, chapter 15, and it gives joy as well. Chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. Just two brief verses. It's kind of hard to do this and not get the whole context. But when the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. So the Spirit will testify, he will witness on our behalf when we're in these kinds of trials. The Spirit will be working, but Jesus makes it very plain, we can't be passive in this. You is emphatic in the Greek. You will also witness. And I think the basic meaning of the passage is that the advocate Spirit will bear witness within our witness. That when we speak, the Spirit is leading us in what we say, and the Spirit will work with what we say, and the Spirit will witness through what we say. You know, sometimes we just think, I don't know what to say. If I get in this situation, I don't know what to say. I really think when you're in those situations, when God puts us in those situations with the Spirit within us, and we're being questioned, we're being tried, it may just be that whatever it is that comes to your mind is what you ought to say. Because it may just be that that's what the Spirit has put it there for. We bear witness to the Spirit. The Spirit works through us and witnesses through what we say. And then in chapter 16, verse 5 to 7 first, it is for your, I'll start at verse 7 for the sake of time. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Now, if you're sitting there and you're one of these disciples, you're saying, well, that's where he's wrong. I'm sorry, Jesus, you've missed it this time. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor, the Advocate, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. In regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. It's best for you that I go away. How is that? You spent 3 years with Jesus, and I really want to know, Jesus, how is it best for you, for me, that you go away? Well, perhaps we would think of it in the sense of Jesus coming in that physical body. And in that physical body like ours, he can only be at one place at one time. He can't be all over the world at one time in his physical body. But when he goes away, he will send the Spirit. And the Spirit will be in every one of us. Wherever we are, wherever we go, the Spirit is there. And the Spirit is there not just to keep us company. The Spirit is there for us to do the work of Jesus. So, the Spirit is there in all disciples everywhere so that we're able to testify the truth about Jesus Christ. Think about some of the plane trips that we might make. You're over a place that there's no villages, no town, nothing. And you look down, it's totally dark. And off in some little place, there's one light that you see. If you just consider that to be the way the world is, if Jesus is here only in his physical body, there he is, there's the light at that one spot. But then you go a little bit further and you come up this town and you see lights everywhere. That's more of what you see when you see the Spirit of God within us, shining the light of Jesus Christ. So that's why it's better. I believe that's what he has in mind. It's better for you that I go away. If I go away, then the Spirit will come to you, and you will be able to testify about me. You can go throughout the world. I can only go one place at a time in physical body. But if we can put the Spirit in everyone, then they can go throughout the world. So it is best that Jesus went away. And he talks about the things that he would do. You know, one of the things that is so interesting is the fact that he says, I will convict the world because of sin. I will convict the world of sin. And then the reason that he will convict the world of sin is because they did not believe on me. And again, you start thinking, how is it that they didn't believe on him? They saw all these miracles. They heard what he did. Even on the resurrection, they can't find his body. They don't, you know, everything that would lead you to faith in what he said, but they don't. And then you look back in other places in the book of John, and you find places where Jesus just is dealing with people, and the reason they don't believe is because they don't have the will to believe. They don't want to believe. It's just that simple. It's not that there's not enough evidence. It's not that the evidence is not convicting enough. It's not anything about the work that Jesus is doing that's wrong. It's simply the fact they don't want it. John chapter 9, after Jesus heals the man who's born blind, you remember that? And the leaders of the Jews come and they start asking him, how did this happen to you? And he says, well, Jesus did that. And they say, it couldn't have been Jesus because Jesus is an unrighteous man. He's a sinner. God doesn't listen to sinners. And the man, you know, he simply says, I don't know how you can call him all that when he gave me the sight. When he helped me to see, when he gave me my sight. And this, just this dialogue that goes there, and the reason that they don't want to respond, or that they don't respond to Jesus, is simply because, he says, they don't have the will for that. So in verses 39 to 41, he has these words, "For judgment I've come into the world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." So all the people in the world right now who think they see clearly about what it means to be the godly person or the right person, and they have no faith in Jesus Christ, he's simply saying, I'm coming so that people who are seeking faith, who are seeking God, and who want to see, I'm coming to give them sight, even though right now they're blind. And those who think they see, they think they've got it all together, they think they've got all the answers, I've come for them to become blind. I have a good friend, Jay Pilkington. Well, let me finish this passage. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked in verse 40, "What are we blind? What are we blind to?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." If you had come to me as a blind person, wanting to see, we could handle that. When you came to me as a person who could see and didn't want to see anything else, you're going to remain blind. Jay Pilkington was a young man that was converted in our campus ministry. He was blind. And Jay had a great impact on my life. He just loved God so much. And right now, Jay is a very effective family. He's a husband. He's got a great job. He's doing a lot of great things. He has a GPS. And you think, well, what in the world does he need a GPS for? He can't see it. Well, now you can type in to a GPS or blind person and type in where he's going, and he can do that. And it will hear. He will just hear every place that he wants to go. And so that's kind of the picture that Jesus has given us here. If we're blind, he'll give us the Spirit. The Spirit will lead us. The Spirit will guide us. And we'll know what we are to do. We'll know where we are to go. He will convict the world of righteousness. The world is thinking, as Jesus goes to the cross, that he is unrighteous. The world refers not to just every human being. It refers to the evil element of the idea of rejecting God. And so they think they're righteous. They think everything's just fine with me. I don't need anything else. And Jesus says, I will convict the world of God's righteousness. You think you're doing right by putting me on the cross. But I'm going to show you that I'm going to the Father, and that will prove what righteousness really is. You won't find me. You won't see me. You just know there's an empty grave. And because of my resurrection, you'll know that what I have spoken is righteous. And then he says, I will convict the world of judgment. The Spirit will convict the world of judgment to come. Well, let's just look at John chapter 3. I'm trying to move a little quickly here, but let's look at John chapter 3. Passage that we're all familiar with. For God so loved the world, beginning in verse 16, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. But to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. So there are those times where we have somebody we want to see come to Christ. And we're pouring out our heart. We're spending all kinds of time. We're praying. We're doing everything that we know to do. And still there is this rejection of Christ. And we get to feeling bad. I just wish I knew what to say. I must not be saying the right thing. I just really wish God would tell me what I need to say. God's already told us what we need to say. The Spirit is working with us. It's not what you're saying that's the problem. The problem is, as Jesus says here, they do not believe because their deeds are evil. And they like it. They love it. They're not changing. It doesn't matter what you say. And then the last passage in this section, Jesus says in verses 12 to 15, and when the Spirit comes, he will reveal future truth. He will reveal things yet to come. All of us could obviously see some things in the letters, especially in the book of Revelation, of things yet to come. And so the Spirit of God is giving us a view of things that are yet to come. They were yet to come at the time of Jesus. Some of those have been fulfilled since that time. There are still things yet to come. And the Spirit of God has led us to see those things so that we can face life with the idea of what the future really looks like. We'll know what to expect. He glorifies Jesus by revealing Jesus. I should have read all the passage, I guess. I apologize. Maybe I'm trying to go too fast and I shouldn't. I have much more to say to you, much more than you can bear. But when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears. And He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. He is glorifying Jesus. The Spirit glorifies Jesus through us. Think about lights that are on a building, and if they're put there correctly, this man was talking about going to church one Sunday. He was preaching, or Sunday night, and he was preaching on this verse in chapter 16 and verse 14, that He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. And as he's been thinking about this and praying about this, as he draws close to the building, the spotlights are done so well. They're done in a way you can't see the spotlights. All you can see is the light that shines on the building. And he said, there's the greatest illustration of what I need for this sermon. The Holy Spirit is shining, but you don't see Him. You see Jesus. You see the revelation of Jesus by what the Spirit is doing through the lives of His people. You give the Spirit glory for what He's doing, but the Spirit is taking from what is mine and He's making it known to you, Jesus says. So there's so much that the Spirit is doing through us. I've got a sheet here of about 75 things that Scripture talks about the Spirit doing, of leading us and guiding us and convicting us and all of the things that He does. But there's just not time to talk about that, is there? So, as we seek to make the truth known, speaking truth has been something that we've been very good throughout history. There was a time when people from my fellowship, we're not all from the same one, but people from my fellowship believed that speaking the truth was the one, about the only thing you needed to do. There was a time in which people from my fellowship became the fastest growing church in the 60s. But that's not all to what we need to show. There's the ethics of living the truth. We can say what we want, we can speak the truth, but if our life contradicts those truths, it makes no difference in the life of the people we're trying to touch. But there's one other that Barry kind of touched on a while ago, and that is the experiencing of truth, the testimony. And for me and my background, I'll just tell you the truth. I was told that's something we don't do. Well, we've done it a lot here, but there was a time I was told, you don't make witness. That is only something the apostles did. You don't give testimony. And yet that's the one place, if we want to make the biggest hit on people who don't believe in Jesus, that's where they start right now. It's just the reverse of what it was back when I was young. It's the reverse of that. They want to see something mystical. They want to see something spiritual. They want to hear something that is taking place that they can't make sense of, in a sense. It just, how is that happening? They need to hear our testimonies. They need to hear how God is working in our life. There's a man by the name of Simon, not Peter, a boy by the name of Simon. And I just want to give you two quick testimony. I'll make it quick. Simon, Christian boy, over in England playing soccer, one of the best soccer players there was. He was so good, his fellow players thought that when he played and kicked the ball, that the ball just stuck to his toe because he could take it anywhere he wanted to. And they were just amazed at how good he was. And he would stay after practice, and he would kick and kick and kick until finally it got to the point that he needed to go home. He'd kick the ball to the end of the field. He'd pick it up. He'd go the same path home every day. One day, he's taking the ball. He's kicking it. He picks it up. He starts walking. And before he knows it, he's in a totally, this is the only time he's ever done it, he's down a totally different road in a place that he doesn't even know where he is. He doesn't know how he got there. He doesn't know why he got there. He doesn't know how he changed directions from what he always did. He goes into a drugstore. He comes back out. And as he comes back out and gets to a corner, he hears somebody yelling, crying. He turns a corner. He walks over, and there's an elderly lady on the ground. And he says, "Can I help you?" And she cries out, "Please don't hit me again. Please don't beat me. Please don't hit me." He said, "I'm not here to hit you. I want to help you." And he looked up. She looked up, and her face is just beaten and bleeding. And they found out later that two teenagers had just gotten her and beaten her and taken all of her money and taken all the food and everything that she had and just left her there. And he said, "Where do you live?" And she said, "I don't know." So he helped her up. They went to the police station. They finally were able to get to her doctor. The doctor was able to bring her back to good health. But that boy could not figure out except one thing, why he went a different way home. Christian man, he believes that the Spirit took him another way home for that one reason. Can we believe something like that? And I believe that the Spirit would really do that. And that's the reason that I went the wrong way home. Oh, there's so many other stories. I'll just quit. The world is put on notice. Its guilt will be exposed. The world may deny it like a criminal denies it when he hears his verdict, but he faces his sentence regardless. John chapter 14 through 16, the basic message of the Spirit is to encourage us to be faithful because He is with us. When you're on trial, He's our defender. He will lead you to truth. He will protect you. He will tell you what to say. He will, in some way, give you the right thing. When we need to prosecute, He will give us the means by which to do so. To try to convict the world, convict this person of the sin in their life. They may not respond, but that doesn't mean the Spirit hasn't done His work. We're not long from the time that we'll be in heaven. Now, I'm not a predictor of when the Lord's coming back. I just know I'm getting there closer every day. And every one of us here is. And one of these days, we're going to walk into heaven, and we're going to see Jesus. And we're going to see people there that we know and we love while they were on the earth. We're going to have a great victory. And when we get there, we'll know that we're there because the Spirit of God led us to that door. I think Eric said something a while ago that's worth saying. If you're not yet giving your life to Jesus, why? do that today. Or if you in some way have not lived in a way or you want to pray, or you've got a trial in front of you, you want to pray about it, anything you want to pray about, come to the back. I'll be back there, and the elders will be back there. And let's talk about that. Oh, we've got 30, 35 more minutes before we get through with Sunday school. So we got plenty of time to pray if you want to do that. Let's come on back.